This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack.
Let's go Raptors! Green Bay!
The Warriors have won! 106-105! Keep the lights on at Oracle. Dust those seats off. That old barn's got one more dance.
What was that?
You've got to know how popular David Ortiz is. If you get caught, you're dead.
I don't understand anything anymore.
Because I think he looks like a jackass.
The guy's a stone-cold loser.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
And go Bruins, go. I am so fired up.
No one wants the Bruins to win this thing.
Let's go home and sleep on it.
Idiots doing idiot things because they're idiots.
Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy.
Final hour here, Late Night, Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys. For the first time tonight, there's a couple of open lines for you. 617-779-7937. That is the number to join us here. We talked about quite a bit tonight, but done a lot of Red Sox talk. Is this Red Sox team, I feel like the frustration is either boiling over or apathy is setting in.
We're pretty butthurt about it.
There is no middle ground with this Red Sox team as they're now 68 games into their season tonight. They fall once again. They are now at the 500 mark on the season. They have lost five out of their last six games, three consecutive games, and two. Those last two games they've lost to Texas. Those hurt especially because they are trailing Texas right now for that final that number two wild card spot, right? So now you're trailing Texas by three games at 68 games into the season. That is less than ideal for your Boston Red Sox, who are going into this season surrounded by tremendous amounts of optimism, a lot of enthusiasm, and a lot of people that know a whole hell of a lot more about baseball than I do actually picked the Red Sox to at least give themselves a chance to compete to defend their World Series title. And it's looking more and more like this Red Sox team won't even make the playoffs, let alone give themselves a chance to compete to win yet another World Series. So we talked about that quite a bit. Want to start mixing in some of your Bruins thoughts as Game 7 is now coming up later on today. And, of course, there is some Celtic stuff to get to as well, because there's dominoes that are about to start falling in the NBA. And unfortunately, one of those large dominoes fell last night in a manner in which he had not planned on falling. So if you've been paying attention to the NBA over the last few months and how it may or may not impact the Celtics, one of the biggest rumors going, and it started all the way back at the All-Star break, was that very good friends Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were going to team up together next year somewhere. Then that somewhere got narrowed down to the Knicks or the Nets or maybe the Clippers. I mean, but really, New York was absolutely the city, and whether it was the Knicks or Nets was debatable. But if you read the New York papers, listened to New York sports radio, it was clear that those two guys were going to New York, at least according to people that are in New York. But does Kyrie go without Kevin Durant? Does Kyrie Irving really want to go be the man because Kevin Durant, well, he ruptured that Achilles last night. He ruptured the Achilles last night, and now he's out not only for the remainder of the playoffs, but he's out for most of next year, if not all of next year as well. So if you're Kevin Durant, rather than opting out of the final year of his contract, which is what he had planned on doing, I feel like the smart money for a multitude of reasons is to simply opt in. If he opts into the final year of his deal with the Golden State Warriors, he'll collect $31.5 million for doing so. Not to mention, he has been there for a few years now, so he has familiarity with the area, with the training staff, and with the doctors. Do you really think that Kevin Durant wants to go to New York to rehab with doctors and trainers that he's never worked with before, and in a city where all eyes are going to be on him?
Might have been one of the most depressing moments that I've ever experienced covering basketball.
Where the story every day is going to be about KD's rehab, and hey, could he come back and play this year? I don't think that he wants to put himself in that environment, in that situation, where if he sticks around a Golden State, he can rehab with the same doctors and trainers that he's had and been comfortable with for years. He can rehab at a facility that he knows very well, and he can rehab in a place where he is one of a handful of stars. He is not the only star. He's not looked at as the savior of the franchise the way that he would be if he went to the New York Knicks. So for all those reasons and many, many more that we just don't have time to get to, I feel like the smart money now is on Kevin Durant sticking around in Golden State. And if that happens to be the case, if that's the path that he chooses, Well, then what does that mean for Kyrie Irving? And here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that, and this is what we talked about all throughout the season, and again, going into the playoffs, and eventually when the Celtics disappointed, when everybody called with their overreaction saying that Kyrie Irving's going to leave and Kyrie Irving's out of here and yada, 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 and if the Celtics lose early, there's no way Kyrie comes back. I said, Kyrie's a strange guy. He's a very strange man, and eventually cooler heads will prevail. He'll see the amount of money the Celtics have on the table, if they do, if Danny Ainge does decide that he wants to put that sort of offer on the table for Kyrie. And I always felt like the likelihood was Kyrie would re-sign here. Now, I wavered a little bit in recent weeks. There's been some things that have happened that have given me a little bit of pause when it comes to my certainty that Kyrie would eventually wind up back here again. And one of those things that really came out last week was Adrian Wojnarowski coming out and saying essentially that Kyrie was considered a disruptive force in Boston, and he was being labeled with that word disruptive. And Kyrie doesn't want to accept any blame at all. He doesn't want that finger pointed at him. It's not who he is. It's not part of his mental makeup. And for him to have to take the blame and be labeled, that is very offensive to somebody like Kyrie Irving. So when I heard that, I thought, oh, the chances are he's probably going to leave now. He doesn't want to be labeled like that. Why would he accept a label like that when he doesn't have to in his mind, right? But here's the thing. I was talking with Vellani here over the weekend. We did a show together. And Vellani tried to make the point where the only way that he'd be comfortable bringing Kyrie Irving back is if he signed the full five-year deal with no out clauses. That way, he had to realize that, you know, he's married to the Celtics. He can't change his mind with the blowing wind. And that makes a lot of sense. But that's not what's going to happen here. My fear now that Kevin Durant got hurt and is most likely going to opt into the final year of his deal is that Kyrie is going to go back to Danny Ainge and say, I will sign a 1-1 deal with you. So let's try this again. Let's see if we can make it work, but I'm not going to commit long term. So what that does is it puts all the cards in Kyrie's deck. He's got Danny bent over a barrel for the second consecutive year. I want no part of that. And I know that there's a huge number of Celtics fans that would take him back with open arms on one of these 1-1 deals. And hey, if you get him and you get Anthony Davis, and they're both here for one guaranteed year, let's see where that thing goes. Anthony Davis is one conversation that I'm willing to have independently of the Kyrie Irving discussion. But I think I'm at the point now where unless Kyrie is willing to sign here for a long-term deal, which, by the way, he's never going to sign here long-term, he's not going to sign anywhere long-term. Sure, he may sign a 4-year deal as a free agent somewhere. He may. He may sign here with a 5-year deal as a free agent. But it doesn't matter because he's absolutely 1,000% going to have an out clause in his contract after the second year of the deal. Because at that point, he becomes a 10-year service time guy in the NBA, and he's eligible for the new Supermax, which is essentially somewhere between 35 and 39% of his team's cap. So he can jump his salary to around $40 million a year come year 10. So no matter where he goes, the idea of a 4 or 5 year deal fully guaranteed is not going to happen. He's opting out after year 2, no matter where he signs. But if you're a Celtics fan and you saw this Durant thing happen last night, you can connect the dots where you see fit. But did the likelihood of Kyrie Irving giving the Celtics another opportunity to sign him, did that increase last night? Absolutely it did. Because now Kyrie's options and his choices are limited. So if you're a Celtics fan, after watching all 82 games of last year, watching what he did in the playoffs, and knowing more about what makes this guy tick as a person, are you comfortable handing the keys to the kingdom back over to Kyrie Irving, if only for a year or two? Do you want him to have the leverage once again that he had last year over Danny Ainge? To me, that scares me. He is a different type of player, and more importantly, he is a different type of person. And I'm not sure if you can trust Kyrie Irving, and without trust, and you're handing out those types of dollars, that type of contract, if you don't trust the guy, and you're building your team around somebody based on his word and based on what he tells you that he wants, to me, that is a dangerous game that Danny Ainge is playing. But he might not have another choice. So again, the likelihood of Kyrie Irving, I think signing in Boston went up last night, but I don't necessarily think that that is the best move for the Boston Celtics. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, all on the table. And of course, David Ortiz and what happened to him in the DR a couple of nights back now. The good news is he got flown to Boston. He had a second surgery today. He is alert. He is in critical yet stable condition. And he finally is in the right place, getting the right care here in the city of Boston. A lot more than meets the eye with that story, and we will continue to update you guys accordingly on any late-breaking information on the David Ortiz front as well. Let's grab a few more calls here. Let's go to Larry. Larry's in Groton. Larry, you're next up here on WEEI. Joe, can you punch Larry up? It's frozen over here.
Hey, wow. I am a first-time, very long-time caller.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, and I appreciate your Celtics expertise. And that's my least... the team I follow the least of the full Boston teams.
You know, we've all got our list, right? We've all got our teams that we follow the closest. But it's funny doing this show. I've had to sort of get into all of them. So while the Celtics are still my team, so to speak, I'm mm-hmm. comfortable having any sort of conversation that you want, Larry.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm really a Red Sox guy. I love baseball on the radio. And Joe, man, he's the man. But, I really hope Lou is the next guy. I hope Lou is the next Joe. That's not really what I was going to talk about. You say the Red Sox aren't a likable team. I really disagree. I still think they're the same team as last year. They're still likable guys, the team, including Alex Cora. I like them.
Well, maybe likability is the wrong word.
I'm optimistic.
Maybe it's the wrong word, but frustration is boiling over, Larry. I think that's, you know, it's frustrating to watch them. And again, I feel like, and this is a larger conversation, Larry, and you're a diehard baseball guy, so maybe you can better speak to this. But I feel like what Major League Baseball and the Red Sox, I feel like what they're asking from their fans, it is a significant ask to try to get 3 to 4 hours a night from you, 6 nights a week essentially for 6 to 8 months out of the year. That is a significant amount of time. There's probably nothing else in life aside from family and work that you dedicate as many hours to as baseball fans do to their team. So for me, all I want to see is my team be again, a likable team or a team that I feel like is putting their best foot forward. And this year, at least, I get this eerily similar feeling to what I saw with the Celtics and I felt with the Celtics last year, where you had all these expectations and all these experts that know a lot more about sports than we do in Las Vegas sort of pick the Celtics. They all pick the Red Sox. And they're not living up to their capabilities or their abilities. And for me, that's what's hard to deal with.
I get that. Still, the people who are the Red Sox all seem like likable people, where the Celtics had that big problem of Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
Ouch. I don't know what it is, but it just ouch.
I don't disagree. The Red Sox at this point, you know, I thought for a while that David Price could potentially be that poisonous guy that Kyrie was, but his teammates love him. So no matter how we feel about him in the media, it's irrelevant because in the clubhouse, he's respected and he's adored by all of his teammates.
Yeah, in previous years, David Price was that dangerous guy. And some of that's, what can you say? The Boston history of racism, it sucks. It's a pain in the butt, but it's true. There's still some of that there. And I'm really glad to see David Price break through that. I'm not really a David Price fan, but hey, what the heck? I'm glad that he got that far. And that brings me to the Tim Thomas stuff, where the history part, was Tim Thomas the first big, important sports player to refuse to go to the White House stupid thing because he didn't like the president?
Are you asking, was Tim Thomas the first guy?
The first big player to not go because he didn't like the president who was in the White House.
Well, that's a caveat that I'll have to look up, because I know other big-name players over the years didn't go. I know there was a year Larry Bird didn't go to the White House. So I know guys have skipped out on the trip, especially Tom Brady. He didn't go back, I'm going to say, 2004-ish. But I don't think it has anything to do with those guys, at least with not necessarily disagreeing or agreeing with the president like it did with Tim Thomas. He might have been the first one to speak openly about it, but he's certainly not the first athlete to stay away from the White House in general.
Yeah. Explicitly disagreeing with the president. I'm saying that the Cora disagreement with Trump stems from the Thomas disagreement with Obama.
Well, there might be something to that. Listen, Larry, I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff. There might be something to that. And you know, if we want to get lost in the minutia of a political conversation, we can certainly do that. But to me anyways, that's a dangerous game that you want to play. That is a very dangerous game that we play here with these guys, with these players, with these athletes, because it's supposed to be a fun afternoon. It's supposed to be a photo shoot, a photo op, and that's it, right? And it's turned into something else entirely. Just because a player goes to the White House and takes a picture with President Trump, or just because a player goes to the White House and takes a picture with President Obama or President Bush or whoever it may be, it doesn't mean that you've aligned yourself with that president's political feelings, leanings, and takes.
But
that's what we've turned it into, and it's banana land that we live in. That's immediately the direction that we go in. It is a flippin' photo op. That's all it is. It's a cool story to tell your kids or tell your grandkids someday. Hey, look, there's Dad. I got to go to the White House and shake the president's hand. Now, that's what it was supposed to be. That's what it always was. And if you didn't go, you didn't go. So be it. But now we all use this White House trip as an opportunity to speak our mind about what we agree with and what we disagree with politically. And that's the way the world has sort of turned itself into. And we've lost any sense of fun. We've lost any sense of lightheartedness. And we've lost any sense of just doing something because it's cool to do it. Everybody's looking for a deeper meaning. Everybody's looking for some reason why. And to me, that's part of the problem with America today.
Nowadays.
It is. But everybody takes themselves too damn seriously in our days as well.
Nobody can take a joke anymore.
That's it. I mean, jokes are funny, you know, and part of the reason.
At the right time, obviously.
Correct. But again, you know, do some people really have a bad taste in their mouth over President Trump? They sure do. Do some people love President Trump? They sure do. Should it matter when it comes to a photo op? Hell no. That's the thing. It's an hour-long event where a team goes, they pose for a picture, it's a photo op, it's a tradition, and it's fun. And by the way, the same people, and I'm not a Trump guy, but the same people that are getting all over Trump and have gotten all over Trump for years about not releasing his tax returns, even though legally he doesn't have to, what do they say? They say, well, it's something that's always been done. It's a tradition. It's something that you should do. So I understand that you don't have to do it, but it's something that all the other political candidates have done. So why hasn't Trump done it? Well, it's those same idiots, those same people that are getting up on their pulpit and they're giving people problems about giving athletes problems about their decision to go to the White House. Well, guess what? You know, it doesn't mean that they're supporting the president, but it's something that's always been done. It's the right thing to do. So while it may not be the rule of law, it may not be the law of the land that you must go, it's something that's always been done. You can't have it both ways. So if somebody wants to go to the White House because they've won a championship and that's the event that comes next, we can't get on that player, we can't get on that person for choosing to spend a few lousy minutes with a president that you don't disagree with when you're the same people that have been giving Trump crap for years about not releasing his tax returns. Again, it's not the law. It is a tradition that he chose not to uphold. Whether you think it's slimy or not, different discussion. Nobody could force him into it. He chose not to do it. Just like with these players. They have a choice whether they want to go or not. And this is why I wish that this discussion would simply disappear and go away. Maybe it's time to remove the White House trip altogether, because all it's doing is becoming another pain point in these long seasons for these teams and for these players. And instead of it being a fun, carefree afternoon, it's literally creating political divide within locker rooms, within clubhouses, and within teams. It is not worth the price if that's the price that has to be paid. It is Sports Radio WEI. Let's grab a couple more here. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Blair, thanks for holding on here tonight, man. What's on your mind?
Did you see what I did to bring back what I brought back from the Special Olympics of Orono, Maine, at the University of Maine?
I saw a couple of pictures that you tweeted, but why don't you tell the story, Blair?
Well, story is, okay, I want to tell the good news first, because there is some bad news of it. Well, the good news is I did win fourth place of the 100 meter, and then the 50 meter, I got disqualified. I would have got third. That's the bad news.
So hold on. Slow down. What did you get disqualified for?
Lane changing.
PEDs?
Seeing my own lane.
I heard there was a story in the paper up there that it was performance-enhancing drugs. Blair.
No.
PEDs, Blair. Don't mess around.
It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't. See,
okay.
It wasn't.
Okay.
They just did the buzzer, so it wasn't. So, anyways, thank you, Joe, for saving my time on air right there.
Anytime, big guy.
Anyways, I was just going to say, yeah, so softball throw, you know, I got to be really proud. Gold medal, first place, got to be proud of that. Got to not hang my head so high on crossing the lanes, because next year in this same time that they have it again for Special Olympics, they have it every year, so I'm going back next year.
Good for you.
And I just got to know that, you know, you just – that's a common known thing that you don't go in your other lanes. You stay in your own lane.
That's right. So you got disqualified for that, but you just sort of like glossed over what I thought was great news. Did you say that you got a gold medal?
Gold medal.
Good
first
for you.
Place softball throw.
Congratulations. That's a big deal, man.
Yeah, thanks. And the fourth place is even huge for me for the 100 meter. That's good enough. I mean, I'll take a ribbon. I don't care. Fourth place. But the gold medal. Gold medal, everybody. Gold medal. Gold freaking medal, Patrick.
gold
freaking medal.
Where are the duck boats, brother? Are we going to cue the duck boats for Blair in Maine or what?
Tomorrow night, we'll win. Hopefully you get me out there. And I don't have the gold medal yet. So, but if I did, I would wear it out to Boston on Friday or Saturday.
Well, hold on. Our deal was Celtics related. I don't have the same pull with the Bruins as I do with the Celtics, man. I don't know the same people, Blair.
Oh, you don't?
I don't, but, you know, we'll always do the best we can to accommodate you. But even if I can't put something together for you like I could have with the Celtics, what would be stopping what would stop you from hopping on a bus and coming down here and just enjoying yourself with the parade?
How would you make it happen on the bus?
Oh, how would I make it happen? No, how would you make it happen? I promised you,
I don't know.
If the Celtics won a championship, I would get you here for the duck boats, right? But I can't, I did not make that promise with the Bruins, Blair. You know that, man.
Yeah, I know. I got to ask my friend that took me to Boston the first time.
Yeah, you got to ask Ben Maller. He's the guy with the Bruins connections.
Yeah, I got to ask my friend that took me. I'm braid frozen. You know who I mean.
Oh, the truck driver that took you down here for the Maller party?
No, truck driver failed. It wasn't him. You know who I mean. It wasn't the truck driver.
What about mom?
My great friend. No, mom will not do that.
Mom won't drive you?
She won't do it for the life depended on it.
But you want a gold medal, man. Somebody's going to give the gold medal winner, Blair and Maine, a drive down to Boston for the duck boats. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
but
I know.
But when do you actually physically pick up the gold medal, Blair? When does it become yours?
We don't know because there is such a long line for the podium there. To go up on the podium for it, so we couldn't wait because it was, you know, so many people there backed up, and my other athletes had other competition too that same day on last Saturday, so I couldn't wait. With you know, we had to move on and go wait and see how the other athletes in my same group did. And they did well, you know, no complaints.
Right.
My other athletes, round of applause for them too.
Are the Special Olympics over, Blair? Is the event done until next year?
It's over for this year. Okay. Move on to soccer in like October.
I know we have our fun. We have our fun with you, but I want to congratulate you, Blair. That's awesome. You've been talking about it since what, March or April? That's great stuff, man. I'm up against it. I appreciate the phone call and congratulations. I remember in March you called all excited because you got new sneakers to train for the Special Olympics, and it sounds like the sneakers worked out. You did your work, and, I mean, fourth place and first place, I mean, that's legit, Blair. So congratulations, and while I can't single-handedly give you a piggyback ride to Boston for the potential duck boats, I'm sure, Blair, if you're capable of winning a gold medal and you're capable of shining that bright light of yours throughout the state of Maine and winning that gold medal and winning a ribbon for fourth place, I'm pretty sure that you're capable of finding a lift down here to Boston. Enjoy yourself. It's a free event. Enjoy the duck boats. Wear that gold medal if you can. Wear it proud. Show it to everybody. Who needs a Stanley Cup when you've got a gold medal? And your name is Blair, the Patriots fan from Maine. My name is Patrick Gilroy. If you're on the line, stay on the line. When we come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls. I see you guys out there. Still plenty of time and room for you. Celtics, Red Sox, David Ortiz all on the table, as well as Special Olympic talk up there in Maine, right here on Sports Radio WEI.
Kind of caught in the back butt of Tuukka Rask.
My butt looks really good.
Wow. What a sequence.
So again, the likelihood of Kyrie Irving, I think signing in Boston went up last night, but I don't necessarily think that that is the best move for the Boston Celtics.
23-19!
Red alert. Red alert.
All units, we have a code red.
Code red. Code red.
Anytime that you can mix in Reamer talking about his ass, it's a good open. I feel like that is a good stepping stone to a good open here. Nice work, Joe. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. About a half an hour to go here. Still plenty of time and room for you guys at 617-779-7937. We've really been all over the place tonight. Done quite a bit on the Red Sox. Also mixing in some Celtics thoughts as well as the Kevin Durant injury absolutely will have a domino effect on Kyrie Irving's decision-making process, which will have an effect depending on how you fall, right? There's so many people that still want Kyrie back, no questions asked. Then there's another group of people entirely that want nothing to do with him. And I found one part of this whole conversation interesting. Since the end of the season, there is zero middle ground when it comes to the Kyrie Irving debate. People either want him back or they don't. There is zero middle ground. There aren't those people that are hemming and hawing over the Kyrie Irving decision-making. No, they either don't want him, and to hell with the cap ramifications. And by the way, I applaud you Celtics fans that think that way.
Back off, Al. This creep's got a yellow sheet as long as my arm.
If you're a Celtics fan that truly understands the negative salary cap ramifications that will come with Kyrie Irving going elsewhere and the Celtics' inability to use that money to sign somebody else because they're already over the cap, if you understand the ins and outs of the salary cap situation that the Celtics are in and you still say that Kyrie Irving should not come back, bravo to you, because it means that you're willing to sacrifice potentially wins because you think culture is more important, and there is absolutely something to be said for that way of thinking as well. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab a few more calls here. Let's go to Andre. Andre is on the Cape. Andre, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, how you doing? And thanks for taking my call. And let me put myself firmly in that camp that's ready to pack Kyrie Irving's bag. I got his Uber and his Lyft ready, and he can still get going. You know, you don't build around somebody who's half in, half out. And by most reports, it looks like he has 2 feet out the door. He's already,
get him out. Most reports have that. But here's the thing. Do you think that Kyrie's somebody, though, that would be interested in going to Brooklyn or going to New York and being the alpha? Like, it was one thing to go and be paired with Kevin Durant, knowing that, you know, he's not going to have to take all the blame when it inevitably implodes, which it will, by the way. If he goes to Brooklyn, it's going to implode. There's no culture. There's no system. They don't have the right leadership in place. They had a nice season last year, but let's face facts here. There's still the Nets and the Knicks. As long as they're owned by Dolan, they're going to be a joke. Kyrie seems to think that he's going to go to one of these places and you know, the skies are going to part, the Red Sea is going to open up, and it's going to be all Kyrie all the time, and they're going to win 55 games and compete to win a championship. That's not going to be the case. And if he couldn't handle the pressure in Boston, and if he couldn't handle the Boston media, he is going to implode in New York with the weight of that media on his shoulders when he doesn't have Kevin Durant next to him helping him shield himself from some of that stuff.
Yeah, sure. I agree completely in terms of the pressure of the New York media. I got to politely disagree in terms of the analysis of the Brooklyn Nets, in terms of what Sean Marks has done as the general manager, Kenny Atkins.
They've done a nice job.
As a head coach. We also have to give a shout out. I'm coming from the Cape to Sean Fine, a local kid who runs their player development. But nonetheless, the Brooklyn Nets, frankly, are in much better shape than the New York Knicks organizationally, in my view, even though Fizdale's a good coach, similar to how the L.A. Clippers are in much better shape organizationally, and this is not debatable, obviously,
than the Lakers.
Than the L.A. Lakers.
I'm with you there, and I guess my point here on the Nets is they're still the Brooklyn Nets, and while they've done a nice job recovering from the horrendous trade that the previous organization and the previous version of the Nets made with Danny Ainge, they've done a nice job there. They've built themselves up a nice little base. They're still the Brooklyn Nets, whereas at least here with the Celtics, and whether you're selling this pitch to Kyrie Irving or to somebody else, with the Celtics, it goes beyond just the 17 championships. You've got a great arena. You've got a state-of-the-art practice facility.
Go
and you've got organizational structure from owners that are the best in the NBA that are willing to pay the luxury tax, willing to pay the repeater tax, to Danny Ainge, who's been here for almost 20 years, and Brad Stevens. So all the things that Kyrie told us that he wanted, the Celtics can provide. That's
a city called New York.
Yeah, indeed. But at the same time, he was a malcontent for the better part of 2 years.
Yep.
And therefore, based on that evidence, I would like to see him get gone. I like the reports that I'm hearing about Jason Tatum wanting to stay in Boston, wanting to be a number one. And so what Danny has to do is Danny has to sign Kyrie, you know, give him that extra money that he can get signed, and then trade his behind to one of these destinations wherever he needs to go. Now, in terms of Kevin Durant, what I want to say is, first of all, I see him leaving, irregardless of the injury. And by the way, I think the Golden State Warriors, irregardless of the boo-hooing and the crying and complaining from the general manager, are culpable in terms of his injury. I believe that it was misreported from the beginning. They knew that it was an Achilles rather than the calf, and they played the smoking mirrors game, and it blew up in everybody's face. So that's but I think he's going to leave, and here's my final point. I see this as a Grant Hill, Tim Duncan, Tracy McGrady to Orlando a generation ago. People will remember that.
Yep.
Obviously, Grant Hill was his injury much more serious because it was that was. But I see Kevin Durant still leaving, possibly pairing with Kyrie and going to his next destination. Obviously, the Knicks or whoever will pay the money just to get him. The first year, he's not going to be there, and then coming back with the team. That's what I see.
Hey, Andre, I got a question. You know your NBA. I got a question for you. Okay, so sure. So we know that Danny has been after Kevin Durant since 2007. There were all the videos and pictures of Danny Ainge with KD's family back in the day. And if you believe mm-hmm. Ainge, he was going to draft KD over Odom. Okay, and the only one, by the way, that would have done that. We know that he came in second a couple years ago during KD's initial free agency. Let's say that Al Horford decides not to opt in and he signs a contract, say, with, I don't know, the Houston Rockets that could use an Al Horford-type player. And now suddenly, sure. Without Kyrie and without Horford, they do have one max spot available. If you're Danny Ainge, would you go ahead and court and potentially sign Kevin Durant knowing that you got to wait a year to get his services?
Yes, if I'm Danny Ainge, I make that because the narrative has completely shifted from what happened. You know, the decision that Cleveland made to rush that Kyrie deal versus the decision that San Antonio made. Case in point, this one-year rental has worked out in spades for so many teams in terms of Oklahoma City and obviously with Toronto, that I think that franchises will take, you know, give up assets to get that star there for 1 year, try to win in that 1 year, and then convince them. So I think that Danny would definitely do that based on him being Trader Danny A, and then based on that scheme has paid out so well, you know, the Raptors, but then also Oklahoma City. You know, Paul George was definitely going to go to L.A. until he decided to re-sign with Oklahoma City. So if that, with all of the new eventualities or possibilities, rather, based on Kevin Durant's very unfortunate injury, that's certainly one of them. And, you know, if Danny can find, you know, because he's going to be out for all of next year, but I still think the teams will, you know, he's still Kevin Durant. His game, he's not going to be the same because of the Achilles, but he's such a versatile player and can do so many different things. When he does come back, he'll still be in his early 30s. He's still going to be Kevin Durant and, you know, be a game changer, a top 10, top 5 player in the league. And so, it, you know, his free agency is just as – I mean, even though you're not going to get it for next year, which is incredibly unfortunate for a number of different reasons. Again, going back to that injury being misreported from the start, but I'm not even going to go there.
Yep.
So the Celtics, I hope they get into the ring, Danny. And, you know, if you can get him here, the culture, so on and forth, and then just make it work in that 1 year, that's the new way of doing things. I mean, even if it's just paid out so well for the teams that have done that, So I hope that Danny can do that. But again, with Kyrie, back to him in Boston, you know, I believe in teams that work hard. I believe in teams that pull in the same direction. And so I have no problem, you know, and the only thing that really concerns me with Kyrie is if he just walks rather than signing him and trading him. So that's what I would put the emphasis on. Sign him, he gets maybe the extra money, and then ship him to where he wants to go. You have young pieces that, and again, in the right system, under the right leadership, pulling in the right direction, the Tatums, the Jaylen Browns, Al Horford's already expressed that he's willing to sign a team-friendly extension. Gordon, obviously, by the way, the hunger that you're seeing from Kawhi now, that was quite a turn of events last night, and Nick Nurse the timeout and whatever. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that Kawhi Leonard's last significant game was played in Golden State with the San Antonio Spurs before the center, whose name escaped me, undercut him and knocked him out for that series. Okay, and so you're seeing the hunger, the dedication, the passion, you know, because, you know, with Gordon Hayward, my point is, him having this basically lost year, I think he's going to come back in the right, you know, without Kyrie having more of a full role, you're going to see the old Gordon Hayward, who was an all-star in the West, plus the young pieces around them, plus who you can bring in, whether it be Capella, who else, you know, with the cap space they can hopefully clear from Kyrie. people say cute little teams don't win until they do win. Okay, because the Toronto Raptors are a cute little team with one superstar. Okay, and how are they doing?
Andre, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. I'm up against the clock here. Great stuff. And I always welcome that sort of NBA conversation. And again, there's so many variables and so many moving pieces with the Celtics discussion. But one thing that is sort of undeniable is that if Kyrie Irving walks in free agency, and to your point, Andre, you know, if the Celtics are able to work with Kyrie on a sign and trade, well, it benefits everybody. Is Kyrie going to be open to that? I don't know, because in my belief, I firmly believe that Kyrie Irving has changed his phone number. I have this visual in my head of Danny Ainge feverishly texting Kyrie and getting the blue bubbles back in return because he has been blocked. I don't think that Kyrie is man enough or has the ability to meet with Danny Ainge one-on-one ahead of free agency and explain to Danny why he's going to leave. Because he made promises that he's not going to keep, and he knows it. So the easier thing to do if you're a 13-year-old girl is what? To break up with somebody by playing the silent game, and if they're lucky, maybe you send them a quick text. But you're certainly not going to talk to that person one-on-one and have a heart-to-heart conversation. You're not going to do that. And Kyrie Irving, he's got the mentality of a 13-year-old girl. He's immature, he's emotional, and he's not sure what he wants from day to day. Tell me how that's different from my tween daughter. To me, it sounds exactly the same. And to build your franchise around somebody who is as, let's say, emotionally unstable as a tween, that is a very difficult proposition if you are Danny Ainge. But the dominoes that will fall from this Kevin Durant situation, and the one place where Andre and I disagree is that Andre believed that Kevin Durant is still going to opt out of his deal. I don't see him doing that any longer. Not with that type of injury, not with that many miles on his body. I firmly believe that he's going to opt in, collect the $31.5 million next year because it's free money. It's a no-brainer. He'll still get to be a free agent next year, but most importantly, he'll get to rehab in a comfortable scenario, a comfortable situation, a comfortable environment with trainers and doctors that he knows in a place where the fan base isn't going to be clamoring for his return on a day in and day out basis. Whereas if he goes to the Nets and he goes to the Knicks, wherever he may wind up, that fan base is going to be holding out hope all season long that maybe, just maybe, come February, March, or April, he'll be able to come back and help that team. So there'll be additional pressure put on Kevin Durant if he goes to one of those major markets, not to mention the difference in media. It's insanity. It is two completely different worlds from the laissez-faire, laid-back attitude that you have out there at Golden State as opposed to everything is the most urgent thing in the world on a night-in and night-out basis in New York. I just don't think that he wants to put himself through that while he's busy rehabbing a career-altering type of injury, and it will have an effect on the decision-making process of Kyrie Irving, but Andre is another one. I have talked to more people like Andre than people that are in the other camp. People are done with Kyrie Irving. Whether it hurts the Celtics financially for the long term or not, they just don't want this guy here sort of being a negative impact on the culture that Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge have built together. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. If you're on the line, stay on the line. When we come back, we'll get right back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Final segment here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys. And again, you know, tomorrow is going to be a fun day around here. So, of course, it's Bruins Blues Game 7, right? And that's going to be great. But we've decided here to go for the full 24 hours of live and local programming, which is something, by the way, that I have been advocating here forever. So I've been able to have the privilege of being on that 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift in the past, whether the Red Sox have won the World Series or the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. Whenever there is a situation like that and one of our teams has the opportunity to win a championship, we generally stay live and local, which wouldn't be that big of a deal if the fact was that we should do it all the time anyways. I get off the air, or Barrett, whoever's in here, Mal, or whoever's doing the late night shift, we get off the air at 2, right? Why not find a way to stay live and local for the remaining 4 hours there? We're already doing it for 20 hours a day. You might as well just go all the way in, and that's what we're going to be doing essentially through the night tomorrow night. So tomorrow, I'll be in here doing some Bruins pregame stuff from 7 to 10. Of course, the game will drop out halfway through that show. Right, so I'm looking forward to coming in here at 7 tomorrow night, talking some Bruins. Really some good stuff leading into that show, leading into that game. I mean, Tuukka Rask, not for nothing, and I see the calls. I'll get right to you guys in a second. But We'll talk about this quite a bit tomorrow. But Tuca, if Tuca goes out and he plays the way he's played throughout this playoff run, he's going to cement himself in Bruins lore. He absolutely is, and I think all the doubters will finally be silenced. However, if Tuukka Rask goes out and he gives up three or four goals and he looks a little shaky and the Bruins lose a Game 7 at home, what he accomplished throughout this playoff run, he was historically good, and it won't matter. Nobody will remember how dominant he was for the 15 previous wins if he can't get win number 16 tomorrow. And a matter of fact, I still think that there's a chance where if he loses tomorrow, and when I say he loses, I mean if the Bruins lose, but it's clear that Tuukka was shaky, Tuukka wasn't ready, Tuukka gave up the game, he gave up too many goals, gave up four goals, five goals, and it wasn't pretty. If that happens tomorrow, there is a chance that Tuukka will not be back, because the blame has got to be put on somebody, and the blame will be squarely put on Tuca's shoulders. He's an easy target. He always has been and always will be.
Especially for people who don't know hockey.
Well, absolutely. But I tell you what, I mean, at this point, if they lose tomorrow, Tuukka will be 1-3. And that one win in the Stanley Cup Finals, he had nothing to do with. So he'll be 0-2 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And if you're the Bruins and you need a big game goalie and he gives up 3, 4, 5 goals tomorrow when they lose, and you can pinpoint the loss on Tuukka, Joe, you know this. The overreaction is going to be that Tuukka needs to go, as opposed to without Tuukka, you don't get those previous 15 wins in the postseason. You don't get to where you are. Nobody's going to look at it like that. They're going to pinpoint Tuukka as the reason why.
Yeah, and we've talked about this throughout the entire week. I personally think that he's going to be fine just because we haven't seen Tuukka be Tuukka all playoffs.
Right.
People have always said, oh, one of those games. We haven't seen it, and I don't think that just because it's Game 7, it's going to change anything.
So he's not due. He's not due for one of those games, in your opinion?
No, of course not. If it does happen, you know, that's just bad luck.
Well, puck luck. That's your analysis.
Your puck luck, babe.
Your analysis has been solid throughout this entire playoff run. Puck luck, and you know what? It has worked. So it is Sports Radio WEI. Let's quickly grab another one here. Let's go to Bill. Bill's in Springfield. Bill, you're next up here on WEI.
Okay, thank you. First, the Celtics, good, but not good enough. The Patriots, of course, are great. The Red Sox are terrible this year. I hope the Bruins can kick some rear end tomorrow. Say something nice about the Poppy, great guy. And one other thing I'd like to bring up is John Henry of the Red Sox. Does he own Yawkey Way or Jersey Way, or did he just decide that he wanted to rename it? Do you know that?
Well, I mean, I know the Red Sox own the land surrounding Fenway Park.
But did they own the street?
I don't know. I know they own Lansdowne. I don't know if they own the old Yawkey Way. I don't know if they own that street or not. I can look into it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, the Yawkey Foundation is worth $440 million, and I'm sure there were plenty of black kids and Hispanic kids as well as white kids that got money from that. And to do that to Tom Yawkey, to me, is about as low as you can go, okay? What foundation does John Henry have besides $10 for a soda and $15 for a hamburger?
He doesn't, but I know that he donates a tremendous amount of time, money, energy, and effort to the Jimmy Fund. And listen, I'm up against it, Bill, but that's a different conversation for a different day, and it's one worth having. We had it last year when the whole name change to Yawkey Way came up, and it's one that I'm sure we'll have again. But not with, 16 hours to go before Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, right? There's too much good stuff happening here to take this time to unearth some of the ugly stuff that's happened here in years past. So my name is Patrick Gilroy. This has been Late Night. You guys want to stay tuned. When you wake up in the morning, you listen to Mutt and Callahan, then you get some OMF. You got the Red Sox in the afternoon. Then you stay tuned immediately following the Red Sox game. You got me, Gilroy, 7 to 10, Brian Barrett with Late Night, and then Alex Reamer for some Reamer After Dark, a full 24 hours of programming coming your way. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow at 7. Bye-bye.